Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.
We will be looking at that again in a few moments' time. As you're doing that, let me tell you about Herbert Hare. Herbert Hare was stood at the front door of his house in Preston with his youngest brother, Gordon, 2 years old, in his arms, saying goodbye to his mother, Margaret, who was in tears. She didn't want him to go to fight in the First World War. And he said to her, "Don't cry, Mum. Don't cry. I have to go, and I'm going so that this little fella will never have to go. And anyway, I'll be back before too long." Herbert was killed in action on the 22nd of March, 1918. He did not come back. His little brother, Gordon, 21 years later, left Preston to go and fight in the Second World War. Thankfully, my grandfather, Gordon, came back. But he was away for 6 years, and he saw much suffering and came back a scarred man. World War I was not the war to end all wars. And World War II wasn't either. And today, wars continue to rage around the world. In Syria, in Yemen, to name just two. War rages on the streets of London. If you've been watching the news recently, all these terrible stabbings of young men. Why is the world like it is? And is there any hope for us? It's two questions for us this morning. Why is the world like it is? And is there any hope for us? And the Bible answers both those questions. And the answer can be illustrated by the poppy. Thank you to you, Anna, for making me this lovely felt poppy. I don't know whether this is the biggest poppy in Kendall today. There's probably a bigger one somewhere, but it's pretty big. Three colors in a poppy. Black, red, and green. And these are colors that can help us answer the questions. Black, red, and green. I've got some pictures to show as well. Every poppy has a black center. The Bible says that every single person in the world has a black center. This is how the Bible puts it. You'll see one of the references on there. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned from the beginning. People everywhere have rejected the God who made us. We've done that by doing things our own way. Now, do you ever ignore what people tell you to do? And you just go ahead and you do what you want to do instead. Do you ever do that? You know, when mum and dad tell you, don't do that, you go and do it. Or they tell you, do that, and you don't do it. There was a rule in my house when I was growing up, and it was this. It's a very important rule. No football in the house. Under no circumstances, no football. I broke that rule many, many times, and I broke lots of things as a result. Mum and dad say no football. I ignored it. Smash! And on one occasion, a very significant and important and probably valuable family heirloom got smashed, destroyed. I was in serious trouble for contravening the rule. But I'm sure you've done something like that. It's called being rebellious. That's what we do to God. We ignore him, we please ourselves, we sin. And that makes us God's enemies. It's very serious. In a war, the enemy is someone that you're fighting against. And that's what we're like with God. We're fighting against him. And the trouble is, in rejecting God, in rebelling against him, We not only make a mess of our own lives, we also make a mess of our families and a mess of our communities and our society and our world. I want my way, you want your way, and it puts us on a collision course for when we meet, who will get their way. And the result is the misery and the pain that we see throughout the world, all the fighting, all the suffering, all the injustice. All that we see goes back to this blackness, this darkness, this sin in our hearts. The world is not as it should be because people are not what we should be. The world is dark because people are dark. We are at war with each other, and we're at war with each other because ultimately we're at war with God. Why is the world like it is? Answer, sin. We've made a terrible mess of things. The question is, what's God going to do about it? Well, the Bible says he will not let this fighting against him go on forever. He cares enough about the world, and he cares enough about people to take our rebellion very seriously. He calls us to account for our actions. He's holy and just. He's totally fair, and he will judge us. And if we go through life saying, I'm going to do it my way, God, go away, leave me alone, he will do just that. The right punishment for sin is just that, God leaving us alone. This is how the Bible puts it, Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Death. There's a penalty for sin. After the Second World War, there was a series of trials in the German town city of Nuremberg where war criminals were tried for crimes against humanity. Many of them were found guilty, and they were hanged. They were executed. They were sentenced to death. We, everybody in the world, is guilty of a much worse than crime than that. Much worse crime than crimes against humanity. Crime against God is what we're guilty of. The most important person in the whole universe. And we deserve a worse punishment, and the Bible says that punishment is death, not just physical death. But the Apostle Paul there is talking about spiritual death. Being separated from God, cut off from God forever. Eternal darkness. No light. No presence of God. Jesus describes it as this. On a number of occasions in the Gospels, he talks about the darkness. The darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of eternal weeping. And that's the punishment that we all deserve for the way we've treated God. The punishment fits the crime. It's a terrible punishment for a terrible crime. And what's worse, the Bible says that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves from this. So is that it then? Are we destined for eternal ruin? Well, we would be if it wasn't for God. We would be if it wasn't for his miraculous, gracious, loving intervention. There is hope. This is good news. There's hope. And the next colour of the poppy tells us about that hope, reminds us of that hope. Red. Blood red. There we go. Poppy's red. And it reminds us of the blood that soldiers shed on the battlefield for us. Reminds us of sacrifice. I want to tell you now about the bravest man in World War I. That was the title that he was given. It's a big title to give. There was many brave men in World War I. This man was called William Hackett. He was one of the oldest soldiers. He was in his 40s. He was a miner. He joined up to be a tunneler. And what he and others like him did is they dug tunnels under no man's land into enemy lines so that attack could happen that way. And on the 22nd of June 1916, he was in a tunnel when an enemy mine exploded above them. And the tunnel collapsed, and he was buried along with four other men. After working for 20 hours, the rescue party managed to dig a hole in the fallen earth and through the fallen broken timber, and they got to them. They were kind of sheltered on a gallery that was in the tunnel. And William Hackett helped three of the men that he was with to get out, along with the rescue party. He could have got out. He could have followed, but the fourth man, a man called Thomas Collins, was seriously injured and couldn't move. The rescue party were saying, come on, Hackett, get out. Get out while we've still got time. The hole is closing up. The earth is shifting. It's going to collapse. Come out. And he said, no, I'm not leaving Thomas alone. I can't leave him alone. I'm staying. Shortly after that, the gallery collapsed. The earth moved. The hole was gone. And they were buried again. They tried to get to them for 4 days. After 4 days of digging, they reached them, but they were dead. And William Hackett was later awarded posthumously the VC, Victoria Cross, highest honour for bravery. And this is what Field Marshal Evelyn Wood described his actions as: the most divine-like act of self-sacrifice of which I have read in this conflict. He could have got out, but he chose to stay and die in the darkness for the sake of his friend. He knew what staying would mean, and he's decided to stay in the darkness for the sake of his friend. Great sacrifice. It's a very difficult thing to die for a friend. But our Bible reading tells us of a much greater sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all time. It was a great sacrifice that William Hackett performed, but it wasn't divine-like. Divine-like sacrifice goes even further than dying for your friends. Because of his great love for us, God has not left us to suffer the consequences of our foolish fighting against him. He sent his son Jesus into the world on a rescue mission. It's a difficult thing to die for a friend, but God did it for his enemies. This is what Romans 5 verse 8 says. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God did it for his enemies. Jesus died for his enemies, for sinners, for us. I mean, isn't it astonishing to think that he would do that for us while we were still fighting against him? He sent his son for us. God's love is massive. God's love is way, way bigger than the very, very best human love. It goes way, way beyond the call of duty. It is more than we deserve. Jesus' blood was shed for us. He died. He's talking about his death on the cross. And as he died on the cross, all the sins, all the blackness of the world was put onto him. And he was punished for it. The wrath of God, the anger of God, the right anger of God that we deserve for our rebellion fell on the Lord Jesus instead. He entered, as he died on the cross, he entered the terrible darkness of God's anger, God's wrath against human rebellion. The terrible darkness of God's absence, God's forsakenness. And he entered that darkness not to keep us company in the darkness, but to take our place in the darkness so that we can get out of the darkness, to save us from the darkness, to take the just penalty for our sins so that justice is done. Innocent Jesus suffering in the place of guilty rebels. And because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, there is hope. Hope. For human beings, there is hope for the world. And the next part of the poppy is green. It's green on mine anyway. Some poppies don't have green, do they? But notice that most do. Green. And green stands for life. The green leaf reminds us of new life. After wars are won and lost, there comes the task of starting afresh to build a new life. And that is what God offers us in Jesus, new life. Now we can be forgiven our sin. We can make a fresh start with God. No longer his enemies, but his friends. This is how our Bible passage puts it. We are justified by his blood. Justified is a legal term. It means to be declared not guilty by the judge. God can treat us just as if we'd never sinned. You notice anything different about that poppy? There's no black. There's no black bit. God can treat us as if we don't have darkness, as if we don't have a black bit, as if we don't have sin. He can treat us as if we're totally innocent. He can treat us as if we're totally perfect, just like Jesus. That means we can be saved, verse 9 of Romans 5, from God's wrath. We can be saved from his anger. And because of all this, we can have peace with God. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. Peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's wonderful, wonderful news. And it goes on. Not just peace with God, we're reconciled to God, verse 10. Reconciled through the death of his son. That means no longer enemies, but his friends. To reconcile means to end fighting and to solve a conflict between two different groups of people who are warring, who are at odds, and to bring them together in a friendship, in a relationship of love and friendship. And now, because of Jesus' work, peace with God and reconciliation to God is possible. Friendship with God is available. A fresh start. A fresh start. And a glorious end. An eternal, happy end. The hope of the glory of God. In this new life, God himself comes to live within us by his Spirit. That's what he says in verse 5. He's given us his Spirit. We can experience the joy of a new relationship with God. And more than that, it's an eternal relationship that goes on forever. The hope of a glorious future. The hope of the glory of God. Life with God in his perfect new creation. The world won't always be this way. Do you know that? The world won't always be like it is today. A brand new world is coming. A glorious new world. A world with no wars. A world with no weeping. Because it's a world with no death, no sin, no fighting, no darkness. And a new world is coming, a world of eternal peace, a world of eternal life, of eternal light, and eternal joy. So there is hope for the world, isn't there? And we can have all this, we're told, through faith. Verse 1, we've been justified through faith. And because of this, we have all these wonderful things. Peace with God, reconciliation, the hope of the glory of God. All it takes for us is to trust that promise of God's forgiveness and friendship and eternal life in Jesus. Put our trust in what Jesus has done for us. His perfect work. His saving death. His glorious resurrection. His resurrection which tells us that this new world is coming. And when we do that, when we put our trust in him, our confidence in him, our hope in him, put our lives in his hand, we stop being his enemies. We become his friends. All it takes for us is to do these three things, to say these three things, to say sorry to God, turn from our sin and say, sorry for fighting against him. I'm sorry for fighting you, Lord. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I'm sorry for doing things my way. And to say, thank you, Father, that you love me enough, so much, enough to send your own dear son to die in my place. And please, please forgive me. And please give me peace with you and friendship with you forever. And he will do it. We've all benefited, haven't we, from those soldiers who fought and died for our freedom. All of us sitting here benefited from that, from their sacrifice. However, not everyone has benefited from the sacrifice of Jesus. Many, many people in the world are still living as God's enemies, still living life their way, still ignoring him. Maybe that's someone here. Well, today would be a great day to do something about that, to put that right. Today is Armistice Day. It's the 11th day of the 11th month. The day then World War I ended. 11 o'clock, not too far, it's just gone 5 past 11. 11 o'clock on the 11th day of the 11th month, all hostilities ceased and peace was declared. What a great day. The 11th of the 11th, 2018, to make peace with God. You could make this your own personal Armistice Day. The day when you stop fighting God and you turn to Jesus Christ and you put your trust in him, your faith in him, and receive peace and reconciliation and hope, sure hope of a great future. That's the message of our passage today. War is over. War is over. If you want it. That's the advertising campaign, 1969, from John and Yoko, their peace campaign. War is over if you want it. They meant something totally different, of course, to Romans chapter 5. But that still is the message of Romans chapter 5. The real war, the ultimate war, the big war, is over. And war between you and God is over, if you want it. If you want it. Do you want it? Is the question. Is there any hope for our world? Yes. Is there any hope for us? Yes. If we want it. No Jesus, no hope. Now, there's two ways of writing that and reading that and hearing that, and both are true. No Jesus, no hope. No Jesus, no hope. Do you know Jesus? You know hope. You have hope. Let's rejoice in that hope today. Let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you for this amazing gift of your Son Jesus Christ, for this astonishing, mind-blowing sacrifice that you died for your enemies. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Thank you for peace with God as a result. Thank you for reconciliation. Thank you for the hope of glory. We pray that those of us who've put our trust in you would rejoice in everything that you've won for us, and that we would shine with the hope, your hope, the hope of Christ in this dark world. And for those of us who haven't yet stopped fighting, we pray that today would be Armistice Day, the day when we find peace and reconciliation with you through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.